Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. You've tuned into the only multi-generational conversation on the roles of fathers in society. Welcome to Dads and Beer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of Dads and Beer, brought to you by Dudes and Beer. I am Chris Jordan, your host, the host of all of it here at Dudes and Beer. I guess technically I am the dude. With me tonight is one of my dudical dudes that I love duding with, a member of our Revolution Digital Group family, host of... how do we start? I guess we can start with those damn comic book guys, go into fuck your opinion, and then after that go into KUTX 989 the breaks.
Yeah, which I will be doing after this.
We got Poppy Son Confucius Jones with us this evening.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Confucius Jones. He gave a better introduction than I could ever give. me and him are both men of multi-talents.
Yeah. We are everywhere you want to be.
Basically.
Yes. And, you know, speaking of that, that's what we're getting into this evening, is being a father, being everything that you want to be as a father. And when we come back from this break from our sponsors, we will get into that and so much more.
Have you ever thought about brewing your own beer? Is the urge to brew there, but you just don't know how to get started? Well, Dudes and Beer is here to help. Stop on by the new Dudes and Beer Amazon store and check out all the great brewing supplies and gear today. We have it all, from instructional books and do-it-yourself kits for beginners to 16-gallon cooking vessels, carboys, bottling supplies, and cleaners for all you homebrew pros out there. Everything you need to brew your favorite beverages, even distilling equipment. So stop on by the official Dudes and Beer store today and get your hand on the greatest new brewing essentials. Simply visit dudesandbeer.com and click the Dudes and Beer store tab. Once again, that website is dudesandbeer.com, and click the Dudes and Beer store tab today. Happy brewing, everybody. And until next time, drink responsibly.
And we are back, folks. And literally, as we sit here, my beautiful wife, Amy, is out at her theater. Confucius has been rapidly texting back and forth with Aaron Knight about their show tonight on KUTX.
Yeah, it's definitely him, yeah.
And the baby Dalbus is sitting over here right next to us, just looking at a microphone, just watching.
He's just waiting for his podcast.
He is waiting for his moment. I guarantee you at some point he will probably chime in.
Yeah, I don't blame him. He said, this is my house. Confucius is just visiting. Yeah. It's my damn show.
Yeah.
You have this show because of me, Father.
You're lucky the good reverend isn't here tonight. Show his bodyguards a thing or two. You need to back up.
Well, hey, but yeah, you know, it's always a pleasure coming on any show you have going on, because I love doing these shows. I don't think I'm the most person that's ever guested, but shit. We've had some great adventures.
You're up there,
We've had the adventure from the strippers to Tia to those damn comic guys.
You know, I would probably say that you are the most recurring guest on Dudes and Beer.
I'm basically Alec Baldwin on Saturday Night Live. I have the most tenured guest hosting.
Yeah, yeah. My brother being Steve Martin.
Yeah, basically. We're in the five hosting club.
Just before him.
The thing is, like, Dan Aykroyd, like, yeah, we're all in that club. I'm on it. I love the show. I love doing it.
And we love having you on, because literally anytime you're on, it is a straight and honest conversation. And that's one reason why when I told you I was starting Dudes and Beer, you were like, are you shitting me right now? Dads and Beer, yeah.
Dads and Beer. That's the beer part talking.
That's the beer. That's the beer. Not going to lie. But yeah, when you were like, are you joking, man? Like, you got so much going on. You really want to do that? And I was like, yes, I do. Because much like I think Dudes and Beer, whenever we do get into those conversations that are world shaking, you know, that cover and hit hard topics, whenever we do talk about, you know, like we did the other night, talking about aliens and hidden knowledge and things like that. Mm-hmm. And even the episode that I did with you on FYO, with Robert Muhammad.
Yeah.
I mean, that was amazing.
That was a dope episode. That was my favorite F4 episode of all time.
Yeah, that was probably one of my favorite episodes to ever record of all time. Seriously. And like, I've been on broadcast. Like, I've had some guests, my friend.
Yeah.
Not on my show, but booked.
I mean, but how many times, like I said, because he's a literal minister of the Nation of Islam in Austin. And so, yeah, it was great.
Yeah, and to hear the educated point of view, to hear, and I definitely want to have him on Dudes and Beer. I need to approach him, especially with all the stuff going on right now. But when I was like, Dads and Beer for me is just as important as Dudes and Beer and just as important as Thinking Deeply. Because Dudes and Beer to me is the regular conversation amongst people of perhaps differing point of views, sometimes similar point of views about what's going on in the world, where we're going in life, how we're focusing our life.
Yeah.
And Thinking Deeply kind of breaks that down a little bit more. But for me, Dads and Beer is so important because when I found out Dalbus was coming, about a year or so before I had really started getting into the concept of archiving all my old radio shows that I was on. Mm. And now it was like, it went into hyperdrive. It was like, man, I gotta digitize all my poetry. I gotta like start up a website. You know, I gotta put everything out there so that when he comes of age and, you know,
he can listen
like,
to it.
Everything's yeah. there. Like everything that I've composed is
imagine
in one
reliquary. Like our parents had podcasts just to hear them going through the different transitions.
Well, and that's just it. You know, like that's why like the first unofficial episode of Dads and Beer had my wife on it. And it was just before he was born. And I went in and did a Thinking Deeply. Just before he was born, like literally in the waiting room, I mean, broadcasting.
That's the best time to do it.
I was broadcasting.
I haven't thought of that. Now, granted, I'm done with kids, but yeah, you know, if I
because like it's hitting me. Like as of right now, like there were a lot of things that because of the way I live life, because of the way my decision making process works, I don't try to put a lot of things on something. You know, I don't put a lot of negative connotations on stuff, you know, because you know me, I'm big into the concept of manifestation and I'm not going to put negative energy into something. I'm not going to think bad things about what could happen to my child in utero. I know that that is a possibility and there's like a 15% chance, whatever, dude.
And ladies and gentlemen, yeah. Chris has the most handsomest, healthiest, full bodied child I've seen in a while.
He is a badass. I'm not going to lie.
He's ready. He came by talking with his credit score already in a good place.
Oh, he came into the world with no credit score in place, my friend. He came in owing a whole lot of credit.
I'm going to ask your son to sign off on a call for me next year.
Oh, you shot. If that's the case, he needs to start looking at a house for us. Shit.
Go ahead and have us do this right here. Go ahead and sign this down.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. Just X will work.
That's his signature. It's all right. You don't need to read it. You know he signed. You saw it.
But, you know, it was literally like whenever I said it, you were like, oh, do I get to come be on Dads and Beer? I was like, of course you do. Like, of anybody, I want you on Dads and Beer.
Yeah, I'm three in.
Yeah. You're like, you're three deep. Yeah. You know, and they aren't necessarily Irish twins.
Yeah.
You know,
I've been a dad for over 10 years.
Yeah. So. Like you got an older one, you got a younger one.
No,
like you
don't
got
mind
them,
me.
You got them speckled around.
Yeah. Well,
so,
you know,
you
did it the right way. I did it the exact opposite. I wasn't married.
I don't think there is a right way, man.
In
quite
terms
honestly.
Of procreate? Okay. I see what you're saying.
Quite honestly, I really don't think there is a right way. I think that life presents the opportunities to you when you need them.
True.
And just knowing what I know of you, I know we've had a few spurious conversations about personal life, things like that. You can't say the coming of your kids didn't calm you down, pump the brakes a little bit.
I would say,
and
you know,
make you realize
with
something.
Kids, and I've heard a lot of people say, I'm getting ready to have a son or a daughter or something, about to change this up. It really does take you want to do it for yourself. Because I know a lot of people that say that and then still don't change. But for me, and I can almost guarantee it's the same thing with you, when you finally have a child, it does kind of make things more focused than they ever were before.
Oh, yeah.
You might have been focused greatly before, but the child is like, yeah, that's not
you
just
about
me. You
saw it right next to my editing monitor has been like since he was a peanut.
Exactly. Bam. So you have to like...
Like, it's there in my face. Just like I've said many times before on our podcast, until you put it on a calendar, until you put it in front of your face, it's not real. You can dream whatever dream you want. You have not set a date. You have not said, by this time, this will happen.
True.
And once that peanut was up there, it was like, there is no doubt. We know within the next 39 weeks, that little peanut's going to be a little man.
Yeah. And they grow.
And he's
going to
be here.
They grow.
And it's exponential from that point.
Well, yeah, because at this point, I always tell people that once you have a child, no matter what you accomplish for yourself, if your child becomes some fucked up degenerate, then that'll reflect on you as a parent.
Well, and let's get into that a little bit, because for those of you that don't know me, I spent my time in the seminary. I did things like that. But I will tell you this right now. I am a failed human being. I'm a flawed human being.
Everybody's flawed, but you're not failed.
I'm not failed now.
I met you, you've really been on. Amazing.
That's just it. My wife is like, I don't know where you're coming from. And I'm like, there is like a whole decade of my life that you were not a part of. That was, it was pretty deep and dark. And it was like, you know, I worked a dredge. And I was down at the bottom of the ocean.
I mean, you know, you got to start somewhere. But like I said, I guess me and your wife are looking at it from the perspective of, I don't know that Chris.
Yeah.
But then a lot of people like that.
At the same token, I don't know that Chris anymore. Mm. I don't want to know that Chris. That Chris is the dude that, like, the advertisement on the radio right now for this radio show is like, if you're this kind of mover and shaker and you're going to do this, you know, and hey, unlike my friend Richard Linkletter, if you're a slacker, no need to apply. And boom, like, you know me, I'm a mover, I'm a shaker, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And my wife knows, like, when I get that manic concept of something, it's best to probably just, like, give me some room and let me splatter the paint on the wall and see what happens.
Yeah, well, you know, you know what? You say that, and I 130% agree. I don't know why I did 130%, but I agree. Because people meet me now, and they say, well, you're this comic book nerd. You're this guy. And I said, you know what? I'm glad you called me that, because there was a point in time when I was a whole different person. And I don't want to even know that person anymore. So I'm glad that you look at me as this guy that does the radio, podcasting, comic books. That's fine with me, because there was a point in time when none of that existed. Well, I was just a guy, like you said, that was literally living for himself and doing what the fuck he wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that people can look at me now and just not connect me being what I am now to what I was.
Oh, yeah, before. And not even fathom.
Not even think about it. If I tell them, like, say, yeah, I was doing X, Y, Z, they're like, how? I said, exactly. I want you to think of me and not
precisely.
Think of that.
Precisely. And what's funny is that the people from the opposite side of the spectrum who knew me before that would say the same thing. I can't imagine that you'd do that. And I'm like, I know.
That's the point of changing.
That's the issue. And that's that. And it's kind of like we were talking about today with the film thing.
Yeah.
And I was telling you, I wanted to get into it before we got into this show about father, son, and the didactic. Because there's some deep stuff going on right now.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you about it after we're done, because it doesn't need to be, like, laundered on air.
Yeah, it's behind the scenes.
Let's just say that. It doesn't need to be laundered on air. Oh,
speaking of dads and beer.
Speaking of dad, come here, my little man. Come on. Dalvis is going to hang out with us for a little while.
I told you he was going to pop on the podcast.
He's got something to say.
You know, it's crazy because, like I guess I have two younger sons and an older daughter.
Oh, yeah.
And if we were to do the show at my spot and they were there, they would literally probably push you out of your chair or you just sit on the table.
And take over.
Exactly. My oldest son is on one of the comic book podcasts. I don't know which episode, because he called me when we were recording it, and I answered it. He was like, hey, guys, and that's all he said. But one of the things, you know, about being a father is that it is one of the most fulfilling things, because you have somebody look up to you. Like Chris was saying, you know, who we were before, we don't want our kids to look at us that same way.
Yeah.
Because I grew up with a lot of people that look at their dads being that type of person that me and Chris used to be. And I don't want to look at my kids looking at me that same way.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's just it. Number one, I will never, much like when I was assistant youth minister, much like when I worked with children, things like that, and taught you have to be very careful with the way you give the lesson of the parable of your life.
Hmm.
All right? Because it is a parable. All right? It's a fable. It's a story by Aesop here, okay? It's an epic journey that at the end of it has a twist that teaches you a lesson. And that's what all of our lives should be by the time we hit 40, something like that. You know, we should have learned some epic lesson in life that we can then pass on. And that's personally how I feel. Not everybody by the age of 40 has learned that lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. I have people in my family who have kids that they didn't ever get their shit together.
Now, like, and granted, like, I have made some huge mistakes in my life, but I've also made some great reparations for those mistakes and done some fantastic things to pass things on to make sure that other people have learned trades, to make sure that other people can do what they need to do.
Well, okay, here's your passing on. You had a crib made for your son that you want to for him to pass on to his children, which I thought was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Most people, when they have a child coming, they buy as much as they can just to sustain the child, but they don't think about, hey, this might be good enough for my child to, when he gets older and has a child, to pass on.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't, like my grandfather, who is my namesake, Confucius Jones, I didn't get anything. The only thing I got from him was pictures and, of course, his namesake. I didn't really get, like, the stuff. And he was a tremendous man. He was a principal, like, I think the first black principal. A major black principal in Austin. He was the first, I think, teacher in Pflugerville. He knew the Pflugers.
Wow.
So,
wow.
But I don't have, only thing I have is people. What people tell me. I don't have pictures. I don't have stuff that's passed on to me. So I agree. Legacy is extremely important. I want to assume that's why you're doing what you do with the podcast. And that's what I do. What I do, so I can pass something on to my kids and say, look, this is who I was. This is what things were like when you were small. Because I have no recollection. I have no direct memories of when my parents were. Before I was born, all I have is what they've told me or what I've somewhat seen. My mom destroyed all the pictures of me, her and my father when I was born. So I don't really have those type of things.
And I could see that in certain relationships, you know, most definitely. I happen to have numerous stepmothers throughout my life. So I've got a lot of people in Christmas pictures.
I mean... My kids might say the same thing. I remember so-and-so. Yeah, no, you don't. You know who that is.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, but a lot of it is a learning process. You know, you've become a father at a perfect age. You're married. You were able to create a sustainable income. You have, of course, like I said, your wife. You have some consistency. When I had my first child, I was 19.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was just really like learning life.
Well, and that was something that for so long, Confucius, was such a big sticking point between me and my mother. Because, of course, when I was 19, I had just left the seminary. I had made a totally, totally different choice in life than either of my parents. But
well, you know, it's like
by the time they were 25.
Here's the fucked up part. For me, like, my family won't hear this, but they're like, I'm like the black child of my family.
What?
Like, I'm...
For those of you that don't know, Confucius is an Afro-American.
Basically. I'm the black sheep of my family. But I'm all the way black. There's no discernation. I'm black all the way. 100%. But, yeah, I was like... Most of my siblings have degrees. All of them have degrees, actually.
Yeah.
They've had their issues, but I was probably the one that had the most legal issues and was just doing the most stupid shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the true decision-making skills... You know, and it's true. Some of us develop them later in life.
Yeah.
I had some great, passionate directions I was going in my life. Don't get me wrong, but I didn't get those discernible hard decision making skills. And where I could, like, just recently I had a really good friend of mine, you know him,
That's tell on
me,
and beer?
Yeah. No. Tell me about some stuff that had happened with him on a project recently, and I was like, I told you, it's gonna happen. It's gonna, like, and it'll happen by people that you know, people that you love.
Mm-hmm.
The only way, unfortunately, that you can protect yourself is to have contracts in place beforehand. And it seems like cold thing to do, seems like a business thing to do, but the fact is you're trying to make this a business. And people that can't understand that, even if they're your friends,
yeah,
you need to not do business with them.
Yeah. And I mean, it's funny because you say
and
that.
That's just a businessman's point of view, you know, and friendship aside, it's the fact of, you know, you got to make sure that what's right is right, what's there is there. And, you know, like it was kind of like, yeah, we got WIC right now. What happens if we don't? That's why I got backyard chickens. I'm allowed to have chickens in Austin. I love the fact that I've almost turned my kitchen into a zero waste kitchen, where most of my bones and things like that go into a freezer bag in the freezer. And then like once a month or so, I make some broth, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do the same thing with all my vegetable trimmings. Now go outside in a pan for my chickens and they pick at them and then they give me eggs.
Well, yeah, you told me that. That blew my fucking mind. I thought that chickens had eggs when they were pregnant, but you said
no,
basically like when they're on their period.
Daily, bro. Imagine a woman having an ovulation daily.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
Because yeah, women on their periods are bad.
The only difference is if you have a rooster, then that ovulation may be fertilized and you may have a chick. But if you have no rooster, you will have eggs every day from a hen.
I had a question for you, but because
yeah,
liquor's been kicking in,
that's
I can't
right
think of it. How has fatherhood, it's not so much how it's changed you, that's too generic. But
well,
how has fatherhood gave you a different perspective on all the different things you have going on?
Quite honestly, for me,
because you're a man with many talents.
I am a man of many talents. I'm a man of many hats. A man of probably too damn many hats. That's one thing that I've realized.
You have a top hat, like many top hats.
Yeah, like that's the problem is I am going, I'm like that dude at the festival that's not selling top hats, but he's got a lot of top hats.
Mm.
And Lord knows what he's on right now. But what the fuck are all those top hats on his head for? That's where I'm at. and I know.
But
I
got Dalbus. Like, how does that?
I know. I told you, and I told people like Dennis Moninger before Dalbus was born. I was literally in a state of cognitive dissonance. Because of how I live my life, and because I cannot, unless it's something I'm plotting and scheming, and I refuse to plot and scheme my child, unless it's a business venture, unless it's something that I'm sculpting, I put nothing on anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever the situation's going to be. Like, I have no idea what this party's going to be. I try to be like as moot as possible emotionally about it so I can possibly enjoy the party. Because if I go in with a preconceived notion, then I have already tainted the experiment, you see?
Yeah.
And to go into my child with a preconceived notion to me was going into the experiment of parenthood tainted.
Yeah.
So for me, it was very much, I'm not going to say an emotionless, but I'm going to come at this from a total blank slate perspective. And I want my first emotion with this to be him emerging from my wife. Like that's what I want my first emotive connection to my child to be. Not that it wasn't like epically awesome. You know me, I'm a tech freak, dude. And because my wife was over 35, we got like, and here's a little tip, folks. If you wait till you're over 35, they throw mad science at you.
Yeah, I think your wife told me
crazy
that. Y'all had
science,
like doctor appointments, like crazy amount of doctor appointments.
Oh, man, we went to our parenting class and it was like, seriously? You people have seen your baby like twice in 9 months? Are you joking? Like once at 3 months, once at like 3 weeks before? And we're like every other week.
Yeah.
Like getting a 3D image
of
baby. Well,
because
of the age. Yeah, because she was like over 35 years old.
And then the irony, not the irony, but the fact your son came out super healthy.
Oh, yeah. So, like every bit of it. You know,
yeah,
like originally the doctor was like, oh, he seems like he's about a half pound off. But my God, his legs are strong. Like she couldn't even like push his legs back. She's like, oh, my God. I'm like, then why are you complaining about him being a half pound light? Like, what's
clearly
the
his pounds went to his damn
yeah,
legs.
Yeah, yeah. Like, come on now.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did come out pretty damn perfect.
Yeah.
I gotta say.
Yeah.
Even right now, we're raising a little stink on the microphone. We ain't holding back. Neither one of us are really restraining ourselves from our normal voice. and he is literally sitting right here on my leg, just hanging out, being a dude with the dudes and talking with the dads and being generational. Cause
and that's the beautiful thing about being a father. It's great to see your, you know, legacy, progeny, son, daughter grow up and just be their own person, just in general.
Well, and, you know, it's interesting, especially with, and we've talked about it numerous times on the Dudes and Beer podcast. What is your experience? And I have to get into it because you're black, I'm not.
Yeah.
What is your experience with school, with things like that, with your child? I mean, is it something that you literally worry more for your children?
For me, is
that something that you necessarily go into, or is it something that you try and give them?
I always think about what point in time where the light might leave their eyes that might be there now, because you know they're going to. This is with any person. But especially with minorities, where you realize that, hey, this world might not be your best friend.
Yeah.
I grew up with a friend named Tim. I think I've ever told this story. His dad was extremely racist. Like, I never forget, I used to wear like...
You should come meet my dad.
I don't want you to be that man.
No, dude. Come over for some barbecue, meet my dad. It'll be fun as shit.
Oh, God. But yeah, I went over, I think I was like in sixth grade, and I went to go see Tim at his family's house, and I think I had slides on. His dad like looked at me and said, "Those are nigger slippers." And I was taken aback. I'm like, "Wait, what just happened?" So I told my mother, and she was the one that had to tell me, like, "Wait, what? Like, what? Okay, you can never go over there again."
Yeah.
And you know, I always think about when my kids will get to a point, because no matter what I tell them, I could always tell them, like, "Hey, you know, you're beautiful, you're great." But at some point in time, something's going to happen where you, especially in Texas, where you'd be like, "Holy shit, what the fuck was this?" But at the end of the day, you know, all three of my children, it's just amazing to see the personalities they're given. My daughter, she's going to be 10. She'll be 11 in December. She is really big into anime, which throws me off because I hate anime. I don't hate it. Let me rephrase that. I'm not a fan of it. She watches anime on her Kindle. My oldest son, who will be 5 in July, he is... If you guys are listening to this podcast and you hear me talking, if you heard me before... He is literally like a mini me version of me. He has an attitude. He is very inquisitive. He wants to know what the hell is going on, but he's also, you know, my oldest son was born one leg. So he has prosthetic.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. My daughter is autistic. She's low in spectrum, but she's autistic. And then my youngest son, he'll be 3 on Tuesday. When's the episode come out?
Next week.
So yeah, he'll be 3 when this episode comes out.
Okay.
But he is taller than my oldest son, and all of them just have different personalities. They all, you know, interact with each other. It's funny because my youngest son mimics, he mimics my oldest son.
That's
sibling thing.
It's an imperative, yeah. Man. Like it's gonna happen. I did it with my older brother.
See, exactly. I have an older brother who's 10 years older than me, and for a long period of my life, I modeled myself after him. My older brother is maybe 5'6", and I'm clearly taller than him.
I love my wife so much, and you know this, Confucius. Yeah. And I love my baby, and I love my God.
But my older brother
is my best friend in the world.
He could do no wrong to me.
Yeah, like I could find out he has like 20 bodies buried in his backyard. Yeah,
I'd find a way to explain it.
You know what? There's a fucking reason for that.
There's a reason for that. I bet they did something to him.
There's a reason for that.
I bet they did something to him.
I'm going to find out what these 20 fuckers did to my brother.
Exactly.
To make him kill all of them.
My brother... You know, so bad. I'm to the point where I'd be like, "Why didn't you call me to help bury them?" That's you did it by yourself. Where was I at?
I could at least help.
But yeah, you know,
I can look out.
Exactly. But see, my two sons, they're 2 years apart, but I'm 10 years apart from my older brother. But I also have a younger brother who's 8 years.
I'm 4 and 3 and a half from mine.
Well, I have a younger brother who's 8 years behind me, and the same thing. It's just always this like dichotomy of.
And it's interesting because this is the second show. Because the intro says it's the only multi-generational discussion of the place of fatherhood in America. That's the tagline for this show. Yeah. And it's true. And in episode two, here we have it yet once again, where my guest is somebody who's almost 15 years my younger.
Yeah.
But yet still has like 15 years almost more experience than me of being a father.
And it's, I mean, it's been, it's crazy.
What's it like to you now to have a son who is coming of age? Like he's coming 11. You know, and there.
Well, my daughter's 11. My son is going to be 5.
Okay,
he's
okay.
He's going to be 5.
Oh, my God, even worse, dude. Because, I mean, you live in Texas, and quite technically, your right is for each, and I know this sounds sexist, but for each cup size, you're allowed to buy 1 gauge of shotgun. That's just a protective means, people. What's it like for you as a dad? Because I mean, of course, any dad like his. I mean, my son's my boy. Like it freaks my wife out. Like I told you, I could sit down and play that organ at full tilt, holding him, and he's quiet.
It's a weird. Like I will say, there's a different feeling from having a daughter and a son, because you can, no matter how grown your daughter is, she can never be full of you because she's a girl. But when you have a son, you're like, okay, person could grow up and be the exact copy of me.
It's like, please give me a reason to kill for you, little girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Give me a reason.
And with my son, it's just, I don't know. It's just, I love my sons. I love them. They're amazing.
Here's an honest question for you. Here's an honest question that they'll find out years from now. Are you harder on your sons than your daughter?
It depends. Okay. Once again, I have 3 kids. Remember this.
Okay. And they all have different needs.
Yeah.
So there's
my
that
daughter
to be
is
said as
less.
Well.
She has less needs, obviously, because she's older.
Sure.
I don't have to make her food. I don't have to beckon and run her beckoning call because she's old enough to get her own thing going. My son, my oldest son, I treat him a little bit different because he is my son. And also because he's the more emotionally driven one. If I come to him and say, hey, my oldest son's name is Malik. If I say, Malik, what are you doing? He'll immediately go into explaining mode. Like, why are you mad at me? What happened?
Yeah.
My youngest son, he's into this rebellious, you clearly saw me knock down your bookshelves.
He's like me and my nephew Andrew. He's the lawyer.
Yeah.
He's the lawyer. Yes. However.
Yeah, because my youngest son, he'll pull down my bookshelves when I say, why'd you do it? He'll look at me and be like, because I just felt like it. Like,
just, yeah.
I can reach it, so I pull it down. What are you going to do about
it? Yeah.
So I say, I got to put him in timeout, and he'll just sit in timeout like, I'll get out of here eventually. You can't keep me here the whole time.
Yeah.
But my oldest son, if I put him in timeout, he immediately acts like the world's about to end. Like, holy shit. He's the guy that's in jail like, why am I here? How can I get out of here? This guy said he's selling weed. Let me tell on him. That's my oldest son.
So the oldest son's a snitch.
Basically. It's funny. Okay. I love my kids, but funny story. So
that should be a new thing on Dads and Beer is how do you rank your children in prison terms?
Oh yeah, my oldest son's telling. He's telling.
Come here, sir.
This past weekend I had all my kids, of course, and like I always tell them, don't hit your sister. One, because she's a girl, and two, because she's older than y'all, and she can throw y'all across the room. I've seen.
Yeah, she will destroy you.
Exactly. But I said, don't hit her. So I heard some commotion going on in my bedroom, and I heard her say, hey, stop. Don't stop throwing stuff at me. So I told my son, hey, come in here. So I asked my youngest son what happened. He said, Malik hit Cyan. It was my daughter. So I said, Cyan, come in here. I said, Cyan, what happened? I said, Malik, what happened? He said, Khalil was hitting Cyan. I said, Cyan, come in here. What happened? She said, well, Malik and Khalil were hitting me. I said, okay, everybody's in timeout. I said, Malik, you're in timeout because you tried to tell on your brother and get him in trouble and ignore the fact that you did it. Yeah. And two, you shouldn't be hitting your sister. So, yeah, it's this weird, like, thing where kids go through this phase where they have to tell on everybody.
Sure.
Because my youngest son, he's not in school yet. He's in daycare. So most of the kids in daycare, either they don't talk much or they just play and mind their business. But my oldest son, he's in school. He's going to kindergarten next year. So he's already a part of that system where as soon as somebody does something that's supposed to be doing, then tell. And I always tell him, I said, stop telling me. Stop telling. He'll say, Khalil wasted.
See something, say something.
Yeah. And Khalil. Khalil wasted a piece of cheese on the floor. I'm like, leave the room. Don't come in here with that shit.
Yeah. Did you pick it up and throw it away?
Thank you. And that's what I tell him about. I said, what did you do before you came to me?
Yeah.
Khalil is jumping on the bed. Did you tell him to stop? No. Well, everybody's in trouble. Everybody get in here. Everybody for the center.
Yeah.
So instead of just automatically telling him. But, I mean, like you said, you have an older sibling. I have an older brother. I was raised to where I saw my older brother do a lot of stuff. I never said anything. I just get in trouble for not saying anything. My dad would be like, well, Michael did X, Y, Z. How did you feel about it?
Here's the thing. Number one, I fully buy, and I'm not even going to say buy into, it is a sound concept. The Freudian concept of psychology and, you know, the Oedipus complex and the Electra complex, and the fact that a male eventually it will come to the point that much like the cat and I vie for the affection of my wife.
Yeah.
My son and I. Well, and it's and that's where people get crazy with Freud and the Oedipus complex. They think it's talking about like, oh, Oedipus, and he was sleeping with his mom. It's not even about that. It's about the fact that literally there is a competition at some point between the father and the son for the affection of the mother.
Or even like a lion pride. Eventually, and the son's going to get to a point where he's like, hey, kind of right here with you. What are we going to do about this?
So. Yeah. Well, and you either leave the pride or you bow down.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the two.
Exactly.
You know, and it's the same way. It's called the Electra complex with fathers and daughters,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to sons and mothers. And it's, you know, this concept of the father will do anything to protect the daughter. The daughter is always searching for the father figure, which is why she finds men who are like her father, whether he be an abusive person, things like that. It's a cycle that is repetitive.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it's other things that we've been talking about, other things that we're involved with that feed right into this.
Yeah, true. That's true. I mean, it's hard. Being a father is one of those. There's books on it, but you'll never. There's nothing.
There's no book. There's no book.
What was that? Knocked Up? You didn't read the. I didn't read the baby books. Oh my God! How were you able to raise children before the baby books?
No. Yeah, you know what I took? I took Abnormal Psychology. And subliminal psychology.
Well, because it's your child, so you never will know exactly what happened. I could say, well, I want my son and my daughter to be X,
my
Y,
child's
Z.
Lucky I'm not building mazes and putting cheese at the end, trying to see how long it takes him
I'm
to
doing
get
some
there.
Spotting shit and dropping him off in the woods and saying, find the figure, bring it back.
No, believe me, because one of the things I wanted to start up was like children's gladiatorial day camp. You know, where you know, because they got like MMA for kids now and stuff like that. But imagine having like nets and like shields made out of Nerf and like tridents made out of Nerf and stuff, you know, and they learn to fight like gladiators in the arena. And
I actually watched it.
Okay, see, that's the problem. See, you shouldn't be watching it. You shouldn't want it as a form of entertainment. Look, you should want it as a means by which to teach your kid discipline and zombies come along, you're probably more likely to find a pitchfork than a sword.
I went to a summer school when I was like 7 or 6 with the teachers.
We got a little pukey going on here. That's all right.
Yeah, I went to a summer school where the teachers made us fight each other. In their pastime. I was like,
are you joking?
I swear to God.
Dude, really? Like, there was somebody that just got into it. Like, we talked about it on Dudes and Beer, the kids' fight club that was going on.
Yeah, I was part of a kid fight club.
Oh, my God. Are you shitting me right now?
I learned
now.
To curse in that
How'd
fight club.
How'd you rank?
I fought once.
Were you like a flyweight?
I fought a kid who had, like, braids and... I remember they broke it up because we ended up, like... It started off us hitting then wrestling. And because there was a coach.
Oh well, that's why they broke it up, man. You can't grapple all day.
I was 6 or 7. I didn't know.
Teachers got money on this thing, son.
But it was like I never
get
it. It was supposed to be the coach. It was supposed to be the coach of this summer camp.
This is where episode 2 of Dads and Beer went.
He would take us to a gym. He was like, "Hey, since you guys are just hanging around, how about y'all fight for like?" I think he would promise us like food or something. I forget.
How about y'all fight for the little Debbie that my wife put in my sandwich?
Something
shit
fucking fall. He did it all. He did it for weeks. Like the weeks I was there, he fucking had us fighting. It was insane. I fought one time.
I will tell you this. This will be one admission that I have whenever I work day camp, and I worked with 4, 5, and 6 year olds and stuff like that. And we had to give a prize away at the end of the day or something. You know, here is how you get children and a group of many children to be quiet for a good long amount of time.
Liquor. No, don't do that. No. Lie.
No. You don't need to go Jesus juice with it, all right, bro? You don't need to go that. What it is we're all going to play mummies. And the idea is to be the best mummy and the most amazing mummy that you can be. And mummies are like stoic and quiet.
I can see that.
And you get them to lay in their best mummy pose. And whoever's the best mummy after 5 minutes gets a prize at the end of it. And that's how you literally shut the hell up out of a group of like 24, 5, and 6-year-olds for like the last 10 minutes of class. You have them play mummies.
You know what would be good for this? He's not a father, but he deals with kids, young kids all day. Is Fresh. He's an instructor or a teacher, whatever the fuck he is, at Boys and Girls Club. He said one kid got mad at an instructor and called the instructor a goddamn faggot.
Hey, it happens, man.
I said, what? Wait, what?
Oh, no.
He yelled at him and called him that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's insane.
Like, I've seen some stuff, man, and I've been there, and that's just it. Like, that's what gives me confidence is the fact that... I've taught ages 4 to 40, and like I tell people all the time, the only difference is by age 40, you should know better than to pull people's hair.
In a fight?
Anyway, period. You should know better. Other than that, we're all just as selfish as this baby is a 5-year-old. We're all just as childish. A 4-year-old will come up and ask you the deepest question right after a 40-year-old comes up and asks you, like, which way is left? And it's like, I don't know, the one that looks like L, you dumbass. You know?
I know.
You got to get rolling.
I got to do the radio thing.
You got to do the radio thing.
I will say this. The radio thing is one of the best blessings of my life. But
it's a beautiful thing.
If it wasn't for those damn combo guys and dudes in beer.
Uh-oh.
Taking a standpoint, I don't think I would ever be able to be on radio because the podcast and the professionalism that we all elude from our podcast has helped me be able to be in a professional setting and know what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, Dudes and Beer is one of the best podcasts. If you guys don't get on the list that we got on next year over us or with us, I don't know.
My goal is to take y'all over, yeah.
I'll be there clapping like a motherfucker, too. I don't give a shit.
You'll be there on the episode.
Because, you know, it's funny because I look at it like this. Okay, so this is a basketball analogy. Kobe Bryant's last ring, he had to go through Game 7 against the Boston Celtics. In Game 7, Kobe Bryant was playing like shit. But Ron Artest stepped up and played and helped them win. I don't give a shit who is playing well. As long as we all get a ring, hey, I'll take that damn ring. I don't give a shit who's playing well.
It's all about the team.
Exactly.
It's all about the team.
So if you're at the bar now, I'm like, yep, Dudes and Beer. I've been on that show numerous times. Let's do it.
And that's just it. When it comes to kids, when it comes to dads, it's all about the team.
Exactly.
And sometimes you got to take one for the team. Sometimes you got to be the organizer of the team. Sometimes, like tonight, you got to be taking care of the whole team. I'm taking care of little man while we're sitting here doing the show as we speak. And as Confucius is getting ready to take off to the wonderful show called The Breaks.
The Brzakes.
The Breaks on 989 KUTX here in Austin, Texas. We are going to go ahead and sign off. Dalbus is about ready to be changed and be fed for the evening and lay down. So
it was an honor to be a guest with Dalbus.
Absolutely,
tonight.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, he had very little to say tonight, but he's been thinking.
Yeah,
he's been thinking. Yeah,
that's gonna be the guy to take you down for your podcast.
Oh yeah, no,
be the one.
That's all right. I'm good with that.
I'm good with that.
If that happens, Dad will be proud. And on that note, everybody, remember, if you can't be good, be good at it.
Yeah.
Take care, and take care of each other. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Dads and Beer. To listen to our audio streams and chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for both Android and iDevices available on the Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the Revolution Digital Group family of podcasts. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.